Luke 16 from verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's just pray again. Father, we just pray that you would move now by your Spirit. We are entirely dependent upon you, and we're just looking to you for that touch which makes all the difference to bring the truth to bear on our lives. We look to you, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We have in this story two very different people, two people with very different situations. One is a very rich man, and he's got everything that he needs, it seems, in this life. And the other is a very poor man, and he is spending his life sitting by the side of the road begging, and he really has nothing, and his situation is so bad that he's not even able to look after the wounds that are on his body, and the dogs come along and they lick the wounds, the sores that are on his body. And so we find that these are two men, two humans, and they are alive and they are living on the earth, but their situation is very different. But in due time, the thing happens to them, which is going to happen to all of us, which is that they died. They died. And the beggar went to be in a place of happiness. He went to be, as it were, with God in a place of comfort and happiness. But the rich man went into a place of torment, into a place of punishment. He went into hell, into a very tragic place. And in that situation, Lazarus the beggar is comforted, he's happy, he's content. His situation is so different from what it was when he was on earth. But the rich man, he is in a place of unhappiness, in a place of pain. And his situation is so different from what it was on earth. But the message I want us to think about this evening is, when did they wake up to the reality of God? When did these two men wake up to the reality of God, the reality of their own sin, the reality of the situation that they were really in? Let's think about the rich man for a moment. He's living on earth, and it says he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Now that means he had the best clothes. Purple in those days was very expensive, a very expensive dye. So if he was wearing purple, it meant he was sort of looking the best. He had got the most fashionable clothes, and everyone was looking at him and saying, you look really good. He had everything he wanted. He had the clothes that he desired. And it says that he fared sumptuously every day. That means that he had the most delicious food to eat. So he was comfortably dressed. He had just the food that he wanted. And no doubt he had so many other nice things in his life. But perhaps because everything was so easy for him, he'd never stopped to really think about God. He'd never stopped to think about eternity. He never stopped to think about what would happen after he died. His life was so comfortable, and he had everything he needed, and he just was sitting there enjoying that. His mind never strayed beyond that. And so we find that he never wakes up to the situation that he's really in. He never awakens to the state of his soul before God until he's dead. So he's gone through life, never really thought about it. Then when he's dead and it's too late, he suddenly thinks, oh no, I'm in trouble. I have sinned all my life. That sin has separated me from God. I have no righteousness, no goodness of my own. And now it's too late. And there in the place of torment, he asks that he could have some relief from the pain that he's in as a result of punishment for his sin. And Abraham says, no, there's no relief now. Nothing can be done. There's too big a distance now between the good and where you are in the place of evil. And no one can come that distance to help you. You are there forever. And now you have awakened to it, to the situation that you are really in. It's too late for anything to be done about it. I wonder tonight where we are in our thoughts about being ready for that final time, that day when we will go to be where we will then be forever in the next life. I wonder, are we prepared? But then you contrast him with this other man, Lazarus. Lazarus, as we said, was a beggar, and his life was pretty awful. If he was living begging, living by the side of the road, lying at a gate, it says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, no doubt he would have been dressed not in purple like the rich man, but he would be dressed in rags. And his stomach would never have been full. He would have never had that satisfying feeling that he's had a good meal. And he was just wanting even the crumbs, the tiny bits that fell from the table of the rich man. But no doubt, because of the situation in which he found himself, he had a lot of time to think about other things, a lot of time to think about eternal issues. And having no comfort in this life, nothing was going well for him now, he must have thought, well, there must be something other than this life. After I die, there must be something more. And at some point in his life, he clearly recognized that there was a God in heaven, a God who loved him, a God who cared about him. But he must also have recognized that he was a sinner, that he was far from God, that he had no goodness of his own. And he must have recognized somehow that if he put his trust in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ and recognized that there was one who would save him from his sin, he could be forgiven. And when he died, he would go into that place of bliss. And that's exactly what happened. After he died, he went into the place of bliss. Not because he was better than the rich man, but merely because he had recognized that he needed God. He recognized that he was a sinner And he went to God and said, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Wash me clean of my sin. And God did that to him in this life, so that when he died, he was ready for what came after. And when he died, he was already forgiven his sin, and he went, as it says here, into the bosom of Abraham. That means he went into a place of comfort, into a place of rest, into a place of happiness. But I wonder, tonight, are we ready? Are we ready for that day? You see, Lazarus awakened to the situation in which he was really in this life. And tonight we need to say that that is the only opportunity that we have to get right with God. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. We die once, and then it's the judgment. And if we are not ready before we die, it's straight to the judgment, and there's no escape route. There's no other chance to get free from sin. But God offers to us, each one of us tonight, this free offer of salvation. He says, if you simply come to me and admit your situation, then I will forgive you your sins. It's not based on anything good that you've done, but it's simply in recognizing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came into the world to save you from your sins, and to trust him as your Savior. Believe that when he died on the cross, he died for you. It's very simple. But how many people put it off and say, well, today is not the day, today is not the right day. And then the next day they say, today is not the right day either. And the next day, today is not the right day. And they keep putting it off, and suddenly the knife falls, as it were, and it's too late. And there's no chance of escape. There's no chance after that they can be made right with God. Here is the rich man earnestly wanting some kind of help in his place of torment. And Abraham says to him, no, it's too late. You had the opportunity in life. You had all the good things that could be afforded you. You had every temporal blessing, every good thing, but you didn't spare a thought to think about where you would be. You didn't spare a thought with regard to God. Now I wonder this evening, are we so much thinking about everything else, about the things of daily life, that we don't spare that time to think about the most important thing? Am I right with God? Are my sins forgiven? You see, after they had died, Lazarus could have looked back at his life and he could have thought, yes, well, I sat in the gates and I never had enough to eat and I had sores and I was despised and dogs came and licked my sores. Perhaps the dogs were his only real company. But he could say, well, in a sense, it was worth it, because it woke me up to my situation. It woke me up to my sin. It woke me up to eternal values. And I wonder tonight, have we woken up to see our need? The rich man could look back and say, yes, I had everything. I had riches. I had food, everything I wanted, moment by moment in life. But it all accounts for nothing. Because now, forever and ever, I am in a place of misery. Perhaps tonight, we could just think, what are our values? What are the things that we value highly? What are we really concerned about? Are we concerned about the trivia of life? The petty things that are going to make absolutely no difference in a few years' time? Or are we concerned with the state of our souls? God says, the value of our souls is so great. We have, each one of us has one soul. And after we die, after we leave this earth, it will be too late for it to be redeemed. I wonder, have we seen tonight the value of our soul? The eternal value of our soul? The value that means that it can never be redeemed unless it is redeemed in this life. God, in his grace and in his mercy, cared so much about us that he would be willing to come into this world, to leave heaven, to die on a cross, to die in such pain for us that it would cost him so much in order to redeem us, that he, Jesus Christ, would pay with his own blood in order that these souls might be redeemed. He would pay so much in order that we might be forgiven. So much did God care for our souls. But he says that this is the rule. You must be forgiven, you must be redeemed in this life, and after that, it's too late. Look at the value of your soul. Look at the cost of what it meant for Jesus Christ to redeem it. And I wonder tonight, will you respond to him? Will you just look to the cross of Calvary and say, yes, Lord Jesus, you died there for me. I know there's nothing now for me to pay. You paid it all there when you died and when your blood poured out for me. And tonight, I don't want to put it off any longer, but I want to accept your free offer of salvation. I want to come into your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me personally. And that's what it comes down to. He died for each one of us personally. And you may look at other people you know, and they may be Christians, and you say, well, we're all in it together. We've all been saved. No, it must happen to each one of us individually. And we must say, Lord Jesus, when you died on the cross, you died for me personally, and now I want to receive that free offer of salvation. Even tonight, if you want to be free from your sin, know that when you die, you have a place with God forever. You can have that. You can receive that free gift tonight. Let me ask you, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to seize the moment, to take the opportunity while it is still available? It's only a moment that it takes to say, yes, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. It's only a moment that it takes. And then you are free from sin forever. And you can walk with God, and you know that when you die, you will be with him forever. But you miss the opportunity. You can miss it forever. And when you die, it will be too late. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you were willing to pay that cost for us. Lord Jesus, you were willing to pour out your blood in payment for our sins. We thank you that it has all been paid for us, that we can be bought back, redeemed by your blood. Lord, we pray even now that you would cause any here who have not yet trusted you as their Savior, even to do it tonight. Lord, you alone can give the power, the enabling to do that. And we look to you to grant mercy, to come down and to draw each one into the kingdom. We thank you for the wonder of free salvation that comes at your expense and not ours. And we just pray you would keep this message in our hearts, that you would apply it to our hearts, that it would have its effect. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's sing together 154 in the Blue Book. The love that Jesus had for me to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell.